You're listening to the STC Foundation's podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is James and I'm part of the team here at STC. This week we're looking at Matthew 26 and 27, and these are some of Jesus' last few days before he went to the cross. Through this week, we will read what the politicians and religious leaders do, and they arrest, try, convict, and flog Jesus. We'll read about what the disciples do. Judas betrays him, Peter denies him, in fact, all of them abandon him. But we'll also learn what Jesus does. He predicts his own death, and he begins to explain its meaning. All the time, as we look, particularly those three people groups, we're asking a similar question of ourselves. What might be helpful for me today as I learn to grow in my faith in as a Christian, as a person following Jesus? So far in the story, Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem, and we can recall from a week or so ago this incredible scene as it was called the triumphal entry. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people gathered in the crowded streets and they waved palm leaves. And the timing couldn't have been more appropriate, because as people have gathered to celebrate this Passover festival, where the Jews were led to freedom, think about way back in Exodus, it was the Jewish custom to gather and remember that story of being led to freedom by God. So family, friends, colleagues, they'd gather together each year and they'd remind themselves of that story and they would give thanks. So the place is buzzing. And yet in the background, a plot is brewing, a plot against Jesus by those chief priests and the elders, the politicians and the religious people. And they're looking to arrest Jesus, and their window to engage him is quite short, and his popularity is increasing and it's beginning to stir the city. So on the one hand, Jesus is on their turf, giving them a unique opportunity. On the other hand, they can't risk a public arrest. And we're told why in verses 4 and 5. It says, as they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and to kill him, but not during the festival, they said, because there may be a riot among the people. So they needed a stealthier option, and Judas betrays Jesus. He gives them that opportunity. So here's something for us to consider today. This betrayal that Judas does, what kind of friend is he? What motivated him? And also, what motivates us? What kind of friend are we? So Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Why? We don't really know. Because the money in the story isn't that much. It says 30 coins of silver would have been about 3 months' wages to hand over his friends. Like someone he's been journeying with for a couple of years now, presumably, that's not a lot of money to hand over a friend. So perhaps Judas was disappointed. Maybe the entry into Jerusalem wasn't the triumphal entry that he hoped for. Perhaps Judas was offended. Maybe Jesus really is the blasphemer that the religious people say he is. Perhaps Judas was disillusioned. Jesus keeps saying he's going to die and that didn't make sense. Perhaps Judas was actually in it all along just for the profit, thinking he'll just take this money, bail out now and avoid arrest. All these responses are incredibly human. And maybe like me, there is perhaps, for a few people listening, we can relate to maybe one or two of those reactions in some of our current relationships with people. Maybe we find ourselves disappointed, offended, or disillusioned. Because that's the truth. There are times where we do feel let down, or we forget the point of a friendship. There may even be times where being in a friendship with someone costs us more than we get out of it. But we don't always have to look at each other as commodities. But really, Jesus invites us to look at each other as siblings, as brothers and sisters. It actually says in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, that we are to love each other with a brotherly affection. And we are to outdo each other in showing honour. And I love that phrase. I love that twofold encouragement to love each other well, but also to try and outdo each other in showing honour. It's like a good competition around friendship. And it stands directly in opposition to this temptation to treat people like currency, that we use each other when it's convenient, and then we drop each other when there's difficulty. That Romans passage simply puts the Jesus outlook on friendship. I'm in this so that you, my friend, might thrive, might grow, and might become more like a child of God. So as we think about ourselves today, you and me, what kind of friends do we want to be? Think again about how we can put into practice how we can be a good friend, and let's outdo each other in love and in showing honour. Let's pray together. And as we pray, you might want to think of someone you want to give thanks for today, or people that God's put in your life. God, thank you for this day that you've made. It's full of opportunity to do good and to be a good friend. Help us, God, to see where we can become better friends today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 26, verses 1 to 16. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar amongst the people.' Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon, a leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at a table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she's done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.' Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him."
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, oh. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live.